You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. Hi, welcome to the podcast. I've been waiting to do that intro for like ever.
That was what I was going to do for the
intro. Is it really?
Yeah.
Here, you do it now.
No.
Why not?
I forgot the quote. I had to look it up.
I just looked it up also because I had to make
it's
sure. Okay.
It's too late now. Okay.
Well, I'll let you do it.
I'm good.
Lance, you want to do it? It's pretty fun.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I think you got it.
Actually, my favorite movie quote, almost, I think.
Almost.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are some good quotes from Pulp Fiction that are funny, but that's a memorable one, because when I got to the end of that movie when I was a kid, my heart would start beating when the clock is like ticking in his office. It'd be like, oh God, he's going to yell. He's going to be mean.
He's going to do it.
Yeah, and I knew. And I knew that, you know, he was going to be nice afterwards, and, you know, mm-hmm. Charlie was going to, spoilers, get the chocolate factory, but I didn't really give a shit. That was terrifying. That was a horror movie for me. I completely missed the part where the chicken gets its head cut off, but Gene Wilder yelling was scary to me, I guess. He's scary in that scene. I'm Brady.
I'm Luke.
I'm Lance.
Welcome to Soccerotography. We have not been here for a while. It's been a little fat minute.
We forgot.
Yeah.
Or
a little bit. A little bit. How have you guys been over the past like month?
Good.
It's all the way in October now.
Yeah, it is. Doing all right.
The seasons are changing.
It's finally not 1,000 degrees every single day.
It's fucking nice outside right now. Yeah.
So fucking nice.
I think right now it's like 65.
Man, still like 90 degrees outside, but it's better.
What the fuck?
Oh, well, you live in Tejas, so
it makes sense.
Yeah. It's 67 degrees.
Is there
in Nebraska? Man. Yep.
Dude, my windows have been open like all week.
I opened my windows today. It's super nice. I love fall. Fall's like the best season. Just because of the holidays it contains. Winky face. But we'll come back to that later.
Spoilers.
Wow, how about that Mario trailer?
Oh my fucking God.
I got on YouTube today. Saw the Nintendo Direct was live and I was like, okay. I gotta
click on
that.
Not as bad as I was expecting.
Me too. It seems Chris Pratt is actually doing something different, which he hasn't done in, I don't know.
I mean, like he's not doing an Italian accent. So
no, but he's not doing his voice.
Yeah.
He's voice acting. He's doing something
Black
else.
Jack Black seems like he's really going for the Bowser voice.
Is that who Bowser was?
Yeah, Jack Black.
I genuinely couldn't tell who it was. I couldn't remember. I was like, that's not Seth Rogen, right?
Mm-mm.
I'm really glad that they like fully showed off Toad and Bowser and Mario, and then they just had Charlie Day screaming and running as Luigi. I thought that was just funny. Like, they didn't have any like scenes completely done with Charlie Day except for that one, but they wanted to show off Charlie Day as Luigi, which I think is going to be the best part. I'm standing by that. I'm pretty sure we talked about the Mario movie casting on our podcast.
Yeah, we did. When like it first came out, either like the day or like a couple days after it came out.
It was probably like back in May when they announced it, maybe, or April.
It was a while ago.
It's been a hot minute, yeah.
Yeah, but super funny shit.
It actually looks pretty. I mean, you know, it's like a Mario movie, but
yeah,
I
don't
want to
say
it looks good.
It doesn't look
like the animation looks good.
It doesn't look laughably bad.
No, it's
which
not
is
like
shocking coming from Illumination, because there are gonna be cringe moments, and there are like some like I guess cringe moments in the trailer or whatever, but it's a kids movie.
Yeah.
So I think kids who like Mario are gonna fucking love it. Jack Black seems super enthusiastic about it.
It's not gonna be good, but
well, I have a feeling it'll be like Sonic, where the fans of the franchise will think it's like fine, like it's something, you know, like the Sonic movies are.
I guess
I haven't seen them. I'm not.
I was so surprised they made a second one.
Yeah, and apparently the second one is just like stupid fun, and which is exactly what the video game movies are supposed to be. They've matured from
like
being total dog shit to just like fun. and like entertaining at least, like, you know, at least they're entertaining to people who like it. You know, we've gotten like so many shitty, like overly serious video game adaptations over the last 20 years with like Resident Evil and Assassin's Creed and all that shit, you know?
Oh my god, I forgot.
There's like three, I think.
I forgot there's even an Assassin's Creed movie.
With Michael Fassbender, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I completely forgot about that. Holy shit.
There's like six of them.
Oh. Oh, like they did also just come out with one.
No, that's a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Oh. And
apparently it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movies were awful.
Yeah, for some reason, the movies, video game movies for like cartoony, you know, like actual like things that should be adapted into animation are turning out good, like Sonic and Mario.
And I guess, I mean, Mario's not out. Just keeps getting
worse and worse. Like Halo. Oh, good lord. We've talked about
it. Back on Halo.
And Resident Evil. Like, yikes. Just give up on it. Just start adapting like all the like Duke Nukem. Do like all the cartoon shit.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it unironically would. Could you imagine, like, I don't know, who would play Duke Nukem really well? Besides Chris Pratt.
Damn, dude, Chris Pratt was my number one.
I think he's my number two and my number one. Number three would be, like, I don't know, fucking Timothy Chalamet. Rock. No, not The Rock.
Yo, The Rock, let's go.
The Rock would be a good...
He'd take the role.
Yeah, he would take anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. What could The Rock... The Rock could play Doom Guy.
Oh.
And he would insist that the helmet is off and that he has to go shirtless at one point. Yeah.
Hasn't The Rock already played Doom Guy? Yeah, he has.
No, he wasn't playing Doom Guy. He was in the Doom movie, wasn't he?
But I mean, that's...
but he wasn't like... Guy.
I kind of forgot there was a Doom movie.
There's two Doom movies, and I'm pretty sure...
Oh, no.
He is. Oh, okay.
Carl Urban. Carl Urban is Doom Guy, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But I mean, you know, Doom Guy wasn't really in the movie, but he was in a Doom movie.
Yeah, he was in a Doom movie. Okay. So that, I guess, was just in the back of my mind, and I just associated the two. Yeah. Huh. Was he in G.I. Joe? That's not a video game movie, but...
Probably. Oh, I just saw a picture of a... John Cena is Doom Guy. John Cena might be a good Nukem.
I don't think you'd need anybody in particular. Like, you just get a stunt actor to play the Doom Guy. I don't think you need big star power to
John
play.
John Cena would be a good Duke Nukem.
He would be a good Duke Nukem. I don't know if he would do it, because I don't think it's a very popular franchise in China.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I forgot about that.
I have a talent of stealing people's jokes before they even say them. Zhao Xina. Yeah. So, there's... Yeah, Mario. Was there any other movie news, I feel like? I feel like there was something I'm just forgetting. Did I have... I think I have a thread somewhere, right?
I know we were going to talk about Edge Runners.
Oh, yeah, you guys can talk about Edge Runners.
I haven't seen it.
Have one thread. Oh, Little Mermaid casting. That was news, apparently.
I did not.
Oh,
a month ago.
I was like known for a long time.
It was, but then they came out with the actual. They had like the trailer and the. Yeah. Yeah, do you guys literally care about a children's Disney princess movie at all?
No.
No, I don't give a shit either.
A live action.
Oh,
no, of course, right?
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, when the cast came out for The Lion King, nobody cared that, like, most of them were black. But now, for some reason, that... Which, they shouldn't, but to be clear. I'm not saying that people should have been outraged over... voice actors for fucking CGI lions, but I don't know why it's any different for voice actors for, you know, when most of the movie is animated anyways. I don't know why it matters.
Yeah.
But they didn't cast an actual mermaid as the fucking Little Mermaid. What the hell?
Yo, wait, what? They didn't cast an actual mermaid? Dude, are you actually going to tell me the crab's not actually a crab? What the fuck, dude?
The crab is being voiced by somebody I don't know.
Well.
But it's at least a real crab, right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I just found out something that's... They're wait, making what? A Mufasa prequel movie.
Yes, that was announced a month ago as well, yeah.
And Seth Rogen is Pumbaa. I don't know anybody else.
Yeah, because Pumbaa knew Mufasa.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
The crab's Sebastian, right?
The crab is Sebastian, yeah.
That's David Diggs.
I don't know who that is what, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think for like things like a Lion King prequel, I don't really care because they did two awful, shitty sequels that nobody really cares about anyways. So, like, whatever. I want to bring up that Melissa McCarthy is playing Ursula, and I think that is just perfect. Not that I give a shit about the casting in this movie, but...
Yeah, I'm probably not going to watch this movie, to be honest.
Definitely a deep sea monster. Javier Bardem? It's good casting. I think it'll work. I don't know why people are like all up in a tizzy, you know? I mean, I know why. It's because they're racist, but, you know, whatever.
I was going to say.
Even though Atlantis is like, you know, off the coast of like, what, where do people like theorize it is? Where do the Nazis think it was? Like off the coast of Spain and Africa or whatever? Can't have black mermaids. Yeah, it's just
Atlantis
stupid.
Atlantis is real, dude.
Why about even that? Get upset about this?
This is real.
It's kind of old news. People have already forgotten about it. The people who are mad about it or have already forgotten about it.
Everybody's forgotten about it at this point.
I forgot about it.
I think the last episode we brought up like the Lilo and Stitch remake.
Oh yeah.
This is being directed by I forgot already. See, I don't care about these things. Oh, the guy who directed Marcel the Shell, right? Okay. Yep. I knew that. And I don't care. Like, whatever. I'm not going to watch that. Like, the original is like a beloved movie to me, but it's not going to, you know, make me go to a theater and give Disney money to watch the exact same story, but worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready to move on if you guys are. There wasn't a whole news lot. Is already done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Lance, you want to introduce the anime? Because it's your recommendation, right?
Yeah, we watched The Great Pretender?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you forget?
You forget.
It's been a hot minute since I watched it, I'm not going to lie.
You've seen it twice, right?
Yes, I've seen it twice.
Okay, yeah.
I watched it like the week we recommended it, and then it's been a hot minute since.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Netflix original anime.
Which doesn't really mean anything, I don't think.
No, I think it's just they just buy them or they like get buy the rights to them to stream them here.
It's pretty much
that's it.
Yep.
It only has two seasons, total of what, 23 episodes?
I think it's 12 and 9, so yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. 21.
Something like that. I guess it's about confidence, man.
Is that what con man stands for?
Yeah, that's what con man stands for.
Well, you're the only person on the fucking planet who calls them confidence men instead of just con men.
Well, that's what they call them, like, in the show.
What?
They call them, like, confidence. Oh, they say confidence men a lot.
Did you watch the dub?
I've seen both. I watched the dub the second time, so that would be this time.
Okay, yeah. Why would they be called confidence men in the dub?
I don't know. That's just what they always call it.
Directly translated it and didn't realize that it's supposed to be con man? Okay.
I guess that's just what they call him.
Whoops. I watched the sub and I like the funny English parts. They immediately reminded me of Devilman Crybaby where they speak English in parts of it and it's kind of like it's really funny. Yeah, and then like 20 seconds in, they're like, okay, we're gonna talk in Japanese now, but it's all in English.
They're like speaking in English, and then next scene they cut to it's just Japanese because they didn't want to have everybody speak in English.
Yeah. I liked it. Not enough to watch both seasons, but I liked it.
The final season, in my opinion, was the best one.
Okay.
I liked the first case
With the drugs.
Los Angeles. The
drugs. That one, like,
should we go case by case?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's broken up. The first case, case one, that one, like, set it up really good, I thought. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It, like, set up, like, the animation style and everything, like, when they got to L.A.
The first one really reminded me, it was a hybrid. Okay, the first case really reminded me of BoJack, just, like, instantly. Because of the animation style and just the fact that they're in LA and they're at the Hollywood sign and everything. I was like, wow, this looks literally like a fucking person, like a horse man could just like walk by in the background and I wouldn't even like pay attention to it. I'd just be like, oh, okay. They even deal with like actors and like Hollywood producers. And yeah. So that's what I got out of the first one. I didn't really like the first one that much.
I thought it was a good setup. Set it up good, and like the ending of it was like, you know, like a pretty good twist. Because like at first I'm like, oh shit, you know, they actually died because they hadn't done the whole like shit goes bad gag. And then
you believe that they were actually dead
for a second. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Luke.
You sweet summer child. They're the main characters in their four episodes.
Well, I don't know. I'm like, oh, maybe. You know, maybe this show's a little different than I thought it was going to be.
It's pretty lighthearted and jokey. Yeah. It had dark things in it, but the tone wasn't.
You didn't watch the last season, so.
I did. While you guys talk about
the
that.
Final case.
Yeah, I wasn't quite as hooked, I think, on this one as I usually am.
Yeah, I mean, the first case was like, it was a good setup. Not like a whole lot happened. Like, you know, they introduced the characters.
Yeah,
it's a good first one.
Yeah, and then the second case was like
Singapore Sky,
boring shit ever.
Really, you didn't like the airplane? Like
one? I didn't like the airplane one. That's where I like kind of got distracted and stopped watching it for a little bit.
I didn't like it that much either. But that was the part with like the second most boobies in it. So I was like, all right, an interesting show that doesn't draw every single character with like giant fucking binocadonks. Yeah. I like that. I like when they don't draw them with giant, humongous bazoobers, which is rare. Yeah. The art is good in the show. I like the art. I don't think I like the art style, but I think specifically the character design.
I think like the first one seemed like it had a little bit more like stakes, you know, because they're like involved with a gang.
I think like, it's because he instantly. I think it's because he's just instantly plunged into it and he doesn't, doesn't realize and it's like against his will.
And then the second one just like didn't really, I mean, oh, Abby might die by a plane crash or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, I already seen her get shot once and she comes back to life. Comes back to life. She's just not dead.
Yeah.
So is she really gonna die?
It is a little less exciting, yeah.
They do a thing where they just have like specific types of evil people and then they're the antagonist. And like, if you hate them, then you're just not going to really like, okay, sorry. If you don't hate them, like if you don't think Hollywood producers are like the worst people on the planet, you know, you're not going to really care because he's like a drug dealer. He's not that scary. None of the bad guys are that scary.
I mean, that was like the thing with the second case was that like, the Sam guy or whatever, like what? He just ran an air show and rigged it so his brother would win. Like,
yeah, it really wasn't even that much
like,
evil.
He wasn't, but he except for the part where he literally goes, "I'm a bad guy. I'm evil.
Yeah,
I don't like people." Or
they were
whatever.
Trying too hard. I was gonna
like,
say, I didn't
make him
really
evil.
Just, like, the only at all.
Really bad thing he did was like.
He was really sexist.
Fuck up that one guy's plane as well, though.
Yeah, but I mean, then like that guy.
And he didn't
was,
even
like,
mean to do that.
Yeah,
like he didn't.
No,
mean
that
for
was
him
the
to
other guy's. Yeah. Yeah, it was like his fault that he was doing what he wasn't supposed to or whatever. But
they both agreed. His brother had baited him to do it. Yeah, the brother at first you're like, oh, they're like in cahoots, and he just wants to like be popular, but he genuinely wants to
like
actually do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's just the little brother, so he has like. You know, he doesn't have as much, like, power, but, yeah. This bad guy is just kind of, he's sexist.
Pretty much, that's it.
still a huge douchebag.
Yeah, I mean, and then at the end, he does try and shoot them.
Yeah, he does.
But then that's pretty much it.
Because he got scammed out of millions of dollars, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that, you know. He got fooled. He got pranked, yeah.
Got fucking pranked, dude.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting how I think it's super uninteresting the way that they fooled him. They just had a normal race and they just put a film over the window to make it look like the fireworks were purple instead of red. And then he got angry, went outside, instantly figured out who won. Like, why did they even do that? Why couldn't they just have taken his money as soon as he gave it to them and then left?
Yeah, they didn't need to do that whole thing. And then he comes back out and like, where are they? And they're just
like, what you think you want to do is make him happy, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, wow, I just won all this money. And then he's not like desperately searching for you because he thinks he just lost everything he owns. It's kind of silly. I don't know why they did that. I think it's just to have the moment where it looks like
big, like reveal.
I get it's not even a reveal.
A reveal for him, I guess, but
yes.
I kind of want to touch on that point a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay, so the third case, I guess, I think we can move on to the third case.
Yeah, I like the
third case. The third case is definitely better than the second one, but
my favorite one is the third case. I like the third one a lot.
It still didn't really have a lot of, like, stakes.
No, but like,
stakes. They were just kind of doing it to do it.
But I feel like high-end rich people art is already a scam, so it's interesting when they're scamming scammers, and they get into it on accident as well.
Yeah, okay. They kind of go into like character backstories in this little arc as well. Like,
I have to hang on. I have to bring that up, the character backstories, because they had Abby's character backstory in the second case.
Yes,
and it literally didn't matter like at all. Any other point in the show, they just showed that like she was a child soldier and that she didn't like the one pilot dude. And then after that, it's like, oh, okay.
I mean, that is her backstory, is that her parents died.
Yeah, I know, but it's like they just did the like character development to like show her backstory and then never like continued that or anything else.
Well, yeah, it's somebody else's turn. It's a different character's turn.
But like it never like continued in the rest of the show.
Yeah, I know. And it like really seems like at the end of that that like cuz Abby has like this thing where she's a total bitch to the main character and the main character like wants to be friends with her or whatever, but at the end of that she seems like more friendly, but then in the third she just isn't there at all. She just doesn't do anything
to being an asshole to him.
Yeah, and she doesn't really get any opportunity to like not be a bitch. So she's just a bitch the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what was the character development in the last one for? They're supposed to be like friends at this point.
Yeah, no. Nothing changed really.
Yeah, you would think they would all be a little closer. Like, come on. Also, like the main character is like sickeningly nice for a comment.
The rest of the three are
actually kind of like con men. Like I can believe that Laurent and what's the red-haired lady?
Cynthia
and Abby. Like I know that they're all like douchebags, but and like they're kind of jaded about life, and that's why they do the conning and everything. I don't care about how sickening. I don't like main characters that are just so fucking nice. They're like so nice and they have such a tragic over the top backstory. They're like,
he was an asshole before though in Japan. He was a total asshole.
Well, because he was scamming people. He was literally just scamming innocent people, right?
Yeah, he was completely innocent people and like was like bragging about it to the one like old guy.
Against his character that they immediately change him into.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Because he went from like being an absolute asshole, and then they're like, "Nah,
I don't want to scam this super rich drug dealing Hollywood."
Yeah, I don't want to scam like, this rich heck, Saudi Arabian he prince. I want to go back home and scam my literal neighbors. Like, it's so bizarre. I don't know. And then his backstory is just so like. I mean, I know you guys know the backstory, but
yeah,
it's just so tragic and like lame.
Just wait, dude. The whole last season, really, like
I know I've been told this. Yeah, I don't really care about that character though, so that's why I told Lance beforehand like a week ago that I like hadn't watched it, and he was like, "Oh, it goes into the main character's backstory," and I was like, "Didn't they already do that?" And he was like, "No, it's actually in depth."
So they do a little bit, like they kind of show his dad a little bit, but the last season really like covers.
Also, goes into like Laurent's backstory.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping the third one would be. Yeah. Or the second season, sorry, not the third.
Like
one.
Literally, almost half the season, the last season is just like flashback to Laurent's backstory, or at least a couple episodes.
Yeah.
And I really like I didn't really care about Abby's backstory. Let's go back to like the third whatever. But I genuinely enjoyed Cynthia's backstory. It was good.
Yeah, that was a good one. I thought,
and it's like, really nice when like she gets mistreated, and like the female character development doesn't immediately make her go back to her like man when he's like normal again and like not an asshole. Yeah, like she can decide like, for herself that he's an asshole. And it's like, yeah, he fucked up, and she doesn't immediately just go back for him. I like Cynthia. Cynthia's my favorite, I think, out of the three. Like that aren't the main character, the side characters, I suppose, but that's just because I didn't watch I don't know Laurent's character development, but I don't really care because he's kind of annoying. He's just like constantly smiling. He has the same expression on his face the whole time. He talks the same every time. They literally go by his name. How has he not been caught?
Yeah.
He has the same name every time.
They go by their like all their first names.
Yeah, they never change.
I think the only time they change somebody's name is
the FBI.
Yeah, and they call them like Makota, Dr. Makota, or whatever his name
is. Oh, yeah, they call him, yeah.
And then the FBI thing, and that's it. They don't change the names again.
That
was pretty good.
I wish the plans were a little bit more in-depth, especially when the second one is literally just like, change the color of the fireworks! Like, that's not even a scam. You take his money and run. The first and third ones were more fun because I fucking hated the turtle guy in the third one. He was the biggest douchebag. I hated him. He was such an awful person.
He's just like, see, the Sam guy, like, he wasn't really like, he's a bad guy, but like,
he's openly bad.
To like him, but you just like, there's nothing to be like, oh, I fucking hate this guy. Like, what a scumbag.
I think it's because the third guy is more realistic, maybe.
Yeah, he's just like a douchebag. He's a kind of
pretentious like, British asshole.
Turtle man,
yeah. I fucking hated him. Every time he smiled, I was like, wow, this man, he just needs beat up right now. I wish this was a shonen anime where he could just like get the shit beat out of him. But, you know, he just loses all of his money. And his sugar mommy.
Yeah,
okay.
It was an actual asshole.
Out of the first three, the third one was my favorite for sure. And Cynthia's character development is actually good. Or backstory, I guess. It's not really development.
Yeah, just backstory. But it's definitely a lot more like enjoyable than the
Because they set up, they have to actually do things. Besides change the window color, they have to actually set up an underground, like, big art dealership thing. And then they have to do it again after they fuck up. And then they have to, they literally have, like, a crowd of people. They set up a whole auction to scam one guy, and I think that's actually cool. Like, that's what con men would do.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, like...
Like, big con men, you know.
Set up fake gambling. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's, like, art dealing is, like a such
hotel
a...
room.
They just in like a hotel room
and say, oh, we're gambling here. You can put money on this pilot, and then that's all that happens.
Yeah, it's so lame. And he does it like three times ever. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's no like montage where they like slowly gain his trust. He literally walks in and is like, yep, I'm gambling now.
And then they kick him out and he's like pissed and he's just like, I want to come back in because you kicked me out. And that's like the whole way they get him.
Yeah, and then they just go, okay.
he doesn't trust Cynthia or anything like that at all either. Like, she just, like, brushes her off the whole time, but they still have her, like, doing stuff with him, and I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't really
make Not any as, sense. Yeah.
Well, she, like, goes to, like, show off her tits to the whole airline pilot while Abby, like, the whole hangar, you know, remember? She's the tit lure, and they all are like drooling and doing the awooga thing, and then and then she puts a fucking pill, a giant thing, in the gas tank or whatever, and then it makes the plane crash or stall or whatever.
They could have literally murdered that guy.
Yeah, they literally did the exact same thing that made the bad guy bad. They did the exact same thing.
Like, if he didn't crash over water, he literally would have died. And they're just, I think they even said that in the show, and it's like, well, he's lucky he didn't crash on land or something.
Wait, don't
like
they
that.
Have like parachutes?
It's like,
though?
Huh?
They have parachutes.
Yeah, they have parachutes.
Also, he was like a kid. He was like 17.
Yeah, they still like
holy shit. Okay, it's fine if the con men are bad, right? It's fine if they're bad. But if your bad guy is like
supposed to be bad.
Not even like a well, they are, they're con men. Well, I guess they are supposed to be.
And the bad guy didn't mean to do the
And the
like,
bad guy didn't even mean to kill
guy.
Him or paralyze
the other guy.
They're just running a race for entertainment. All the pilots know that it's rigged. I don't get it. I mean, there's people gambling on it, I guess, but that's not anything that they run, right?
No.
I don't think... Wait, is there an actual gambling thing? I don't think there is. There's no actual gambling.
Actually, I don't even think there's gambling, yeah.
Right, it's just the fake one they set up. Wow, the
it's
second
just
one
Sam
sucks.
Making money on it. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, the third one is definitely fun. When they, like... Because, like, it starts out, the main character tries to, like, pull a scam on his own. He accidentally sells a really expensive painting.
Yeah.
And then they have to do like this big grand plan where they have to like set up, they have to like buy it at an auction and then sell it, like pretend that they're going to sell it. And then they go to the pretend auction and they invite the guy and then they like force him to go up. And then Cynthia's there and she's just like absolutely pissing him off by going like higher and higher. Like that whole sequence with the bidding was like super fun. I was like, wow, this is the most exciting part of the whole show so far. It's the fucking bidding. Yeah. and he spends like $100 million or whatever, and then she's like, nope, sorry, I don't have that. Like, would they, like, why would they give him the painting and then just have him be $100 million in debt? If he doesn't have it, right? Because she doesn't pay for it.
Well, they give him like a deadline to pay for it.
Because there's a fake painting and a real painting. Yeah. So they give him the fake one, and then they have the real painting, and they have his money.
But no, at the very end, they reveal...
switched it, because he's like, I felt bad. Because this guy put his heart into recreating a painting or whatever.
And yeah, so then...
Nobody knows.
Stupid. Yeah. But then he tells everybody, so everybody does know.
Well, all the people he knows, but not all the, like, not the guy, not the turtle guy.
The whole point, I feel like, was to, like, make sure he does not get the painting, and then they just gave it to him.
Yeah?
Yeah, but they also got his $100 million.
I guess.
Yeah, they got the money, so I guess.
Which isn't even his money. They literally scammed the old lady.
No, I think he's in debt. I think they actually made him pay because they told her about it and she left.
Oh, okay.
So he's in debt, so... I don't know how. He must have taken out a loan, or he had to sell his...
I think they said like he's going to sold all his property.
Yes. Yeah, I do remember
art
that.
Studio and all that. Okay, now I remember.
Yeah, kind of weird. Especially when it's like a personal thing for Cynthia, like she wants to fuck him over, and she does, but you think he would want to do it completely and like not give him the painting? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thought.
Completely fuck him over, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I will let you guys... talk about the second
ready
season.
For the fourth case now?
The fourth case? Wizard
this
of the
one
Far East?
Is fucked up.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. A
little bit.
They kind of brush it off like midway through the season. But
this is the longest one with, what, 9 episodes?
Yeah, it's nine episodes one length, for one case.
Yeah.
So,
I guess... It starts
like a. Oh, okay.
I mean, what were you going to do?
I was going to do just a recap.
Go for it.
Okay. So it starts off Edamame was. He's getting a real job now. He's finally, after all this time, he's getting a real job.
Like every single other.
Every single season. Yep. But this time he's getting a real office job.
Uh-oh.
And so, like, he's, like, at this job interview place, and, you know, the guy's like, oh, you've been arrested before? And he's like, yeah, but, you know, it was in the past. He's like, well, I'll forget that. And so he gets the job, and he, like, goes around. He's, like, a little trainee guy helping out. And then I forgot how he finds out, but basically that business does child trafficking.
Oh, like his dad.
Like his dad. The same exact company that his dad got caught.
Wow, actually. What are the odds? Yeah,
but he doesn't know that for somehow. And so like he gets dragged to like Vietnam and all these places like buying children. And then like
wait, he has to buy children?
Yeah, he gets like, hired he goes, on.
To yeah, he gets hired on and then he gets dragged around like helping the guy buy children.
How does he not figure that out that he is so he just does it willingly?
And then, like, he goes to, like, Vietnam. I think he's, like, in Vietnam when the guy's like, yeah, the merchandise, like, the kids or whatever. He's like, huh? And
oh, he then, doesn't know he's buying kids.
Yeah, he doesn't know until, like, he buys them the first time.
Wow, or,
like,
he's they fucking buy them. Stupid.
And then he's like, well, what the fuck? And then I think, like, Laurent calls him and he's like, hey, yeah, I put you in there. I got you the job there or whatever. I somehow wiggled my fingers so that you would go and get the job there.
So it's exactly like every other case.
Yeah, so we're gonna go scan.
Laurent kind of cranks him to get in there and okay.
And then he's like, well shit, okay, I guess if we're gonna like save the kids and steal their money and stuff, that's fine. So he like stays working for them. And the boss lady, like the big evil boss lady who like owns the corporations, like yeah, we like I like you, or basically she like takes a liking to Edamame. And then like so they trick her or like trick the other guy, I forgot what his name was, into like thinking that Abby is some Saudi Arabian princess.
Okay.
And they do like this whole big thing where they like, blow up a car and like have him in the desert, like showing that they're kidnapping Abby. And the little brother, what was his name, Clark, from the plane thing?
Wait, they're trying to kidnap Abby to traffic her?
Yeah, but like they're pretend, they're like scamming them basically.
Okay, but why would they want to steal a Saudi Arabian princess though?
Because she's worth a lot of money to child traffickers.
That's like not okay, whatever. Sure.
Yeah. And the Clark guy from the plane season like helps them out because he's, you know, Saudi Arabian or whatever.
Wait, what guy?
The plane guy, the guy who flies the planes.
Oh, he's like
in on it. Yeah,
the little brother.
Yeah, I'll help you guys out or whatever because he knows that they scammed his brother and he just doesn't care.
Well, yeah, he's starting his own thing. Yeah.
And then so they're like, oh, yeah, we like Abby. So then they keep her in a cell. And Edamura is like working there and he like has to feed the kids.
Oh my
and
god. Stuff
and like see all the kids that are like in cells, like all dirty and they don't eat and all that stuff. And then it's like the night that they're gonna break Abby out. And then they don't even help any of the kids. They just like get Abby out and he's like, and steal their money or whatever. And he's like, well, what the fuck? So he goes back and Abby like runs with him to help get the kids out. And the kids are like, the fuck are we gonna do if we escape? So they don't escape, and then like the guy comes back, like one of the guards comes back, so then the whole plane gets put off. And then I forgot how Abby even gets out after that. Do you remember, Lance?
How they like get Abby out of there?
Yeah, well, it's the not second like the very time.
Fucking end, isn't it?
Oh wait, that's right.
It's like in the room when they all get away.
Oh, okay, wait, yeah. So then they fucked it up basically. And then they find out that Abby, like, isn't a princess and that Cynthia isn't, like, a child trafficker.
Okay.
And then so they take him out to a boat and, like, you know, all this bad stuff. And then they find out Edamura is, like, a con artist, too. And they're like, oh, you're so dumb. Oh, but then, like, there's a whole Chinese gang and Edamura's dad works for the Chinese gang as, like, a translator.
Oh, he's still alive?
It's like a separate wing of the same company.
Yeah.
But he's still and alive and he works there.
Edamura's dad, like, comes to him and he's like, tells him, like, what's happening. And Edamura's pissed, but he's like, you're going to help me get them out. And then so they do it. And then they get caught, like, stealing all the kids away from them. And then so they take him out to this boat and they're like, okay, we're going to execute you now. And then they shoot Cynthia and Abby, like, off the boat and they just fall into the water. And then Edamura's like, they're like, Edamura, kill your dad, and you'll be all good. And then, so, you know, instead of like killing the child trafficker and everything because he's holding a gun in his hands, he shoots his dad.
Oh, he actually kills his dad.
They he actually shoots his dad. Guns, like, yeah, but he just shoots his dad. He's so pissed at his dad that he shoots his dad after watching his friends die. And then Edamura just starts working as a child trafficker for like months and months.
Oh my God, like unironically.
So traumatized and like brainwashed that he just starts like he's basically like the boss lady's son, like she treats him like a son, and he
he's the son, he's not the hot pool boy.
Mm-hmm. No, she literally treats him like a son because she like disowned her other son or something.
He's like 20 something, right? He's not young.
He's not young.
But she's like an old lady.
Oh, she's not a boss babe.
No.
Okay.
And then, so he's like literally just works for them, like helps put on like the child trafficking, like runway shows and everything, and like yells at the kids to do all that.
Like put in charge of like selling the children. Yeah.
He's like becomes like a super high up guy in this child trafficking ring and just goes along with it.
Yeah.
Like completely like, has no clue because Cynthia and Abby are alive.
Well.
The like weird like old lady was scuba diving underneath the boat and brought them back because they had bulletproof vests on and saved them.
Oh, of course they had bulletproof vests
on. Or something like that. And then they're like, well, okay, we need
to shot them in the chest to execute them?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what I was telling my girlfriend, like, what if they just shot them in the head?
Yeah, why?
The whole plan would be over if they shot them in the head. They're both dead.
Holy shit.
But yeah, because the guys with the guns weren't in on it. They were just actual, like, gang members.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, like, Laurent's backstory. This is really long, like, telling the whole thing.
The reason why they're scamming the company that they're currently scamming is because Laurent tried to scam them, failed, and, like, got his girlfriend killed.
Yeah.
And that's why his girlfriend wants to scam
them. They were all gonna quit. Like Loren and Edamame's dad were like in the same con artist group. Like, cause Edamame's dad is a con artist. He's not an actual child trafficker.
Yeah.
And then so they were like in the same group, and they're all gonna quit. And then Loren's girlfriend was like, "One last job, one last big job, or whatever." And then this happened, and the same exact thing happened. They all got caught. And then they actually killed Laurent's girlfriend, and she just fell into the water. But
Laurent
was like working for the Chinese gang. Like what did he do? He like saved the Chinese guy's life or something. Like her fake saved his life, so then they liked him.
Something like that.
And then so like that all happened, and Edamura's dad like got arrested because he's wanted to save somebody's like Laurent or something. And then fast forward, they're like, okay, we're gonna come up with a new plan. And then Edamura's dad comes back to him, Edamura, after he's been like in the child trafficking gang for like literally I think it said 4 months later or something like that. So he's just been doing this for like months, like no question, no like moral. Like, this
he was like second in charge too. Like, worked his way all the way up.
And he's like, okay, we're gonna scam them and get them back now. And he's like, okay.
This seems then, like it's 9 episodes for like no reason. This really seems like there's a lot of extra shit.
All the extra stuff was like Laurent's backstory. Because that was like a couple episodes of them like scaring people.
Because it goes to like his mom and like all that other shit too.
Oh,
just kind of told you about like what mattered to like the actual story.
Yeah. But then Edamura's like, okay. And then he makes some like suspicious phone call, but we don't figure out what that is until the end. And then so they're like scamming them. I forgot how they were doing it. Oh, they were. Laurent went back to the Chinese people and he's like, hey, I'm back now, guys. Like, sorry, I took a break or whatever. And they're like, welcome back. And so, like, he was their translator to the Japanese because they're Chinese and they can't understand Japanese.
Do you think this whole time they would just get at one of the Chinese guys in their gang to learn fucking Japanese?
Yeah, and then Edamura was...
Wait, so they have a French translator.
The translator in the Chinese gang was Edamura's dad. But when Edamura shot him off the boat, he went missing. And they're like, well, shit, what do we do now?
Right.
And then Edamura comes back. Yeah. And then... Or Laurent comes back. And then Edamura is like the translator from Chinese because his mom taught Chinese. So he knew Chinese.
Okay.
And then they're basically just like fake translating. They like set up this video call because the Chinese gang and the Japanese gang like hate each other. And then so they set up this fake call where they're like, okay, they want to buy your company. And then the Chinese guys or whatever, they both basically set it up like how they wanted it, or each gang wanted to buy the other company. And the other company is like, okay.
Oh, and then they're so like, they okay. literally, wow, that's the stupidest shit ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really
funny. They scam
funny.
Them so by they, making both of them think they're buying the other one.
You just have a translator just say whatever you want. And then that's
exactly.
how you scam
that's
them.
That's literally
okay.
the scam.
That's really
and then they're
stupid.
Both, but they're also both like, okay, when the Chinese people come, we're going to kill them. And then the Chinese people are like, okay, when we get there, we're going to kill them.
Oh.
And then so they're both
so they just the two gangs against each other.
Kill each other, yeah. And, you know, Abby and Cynthia are alive, and Amami's dad is alive. And that's so they set up this whole big thing. And then the police bust through the door and it's Abby and Cynthia and like all the scam guys and like, we're police.
Oh, they do the same thing that they do in the first one.
Yeah. And then they're like, wait, you're not police or whatever. And then fucking in through the door, busts Cassano, the guy from the first season, the
bad guy
busts through the door. And he's like, I finally found the scam artists or whatever. And they all, like, his whole gang's there and they have guns. And they start, like, shooting. And then, oh, there's a whole big scene where, like, Edamura is going, like, crazy. And he's, like, holding a sword. And his dad's like, stop, you don't want to kill me or whatever. And then Laurent's like, stop. And then they get the sword from him and they, like, slash Edamura in the chest. And he's, like, dead. And then the boss lady's like freaking out, like, no, he's dead. And then
my son.
All the gang leaders like escape through the door and they hear all like the shooting and people getting killed. And they're like, what the hell? And then they're like, I think it stopped because like there's no more sound. And they walk back in and nobody's there. And they're like, what the fuck? And then there's a big lever on the back wall. And they're like, this wasn't here before, was it? And they're like, no. And they pull it, and it's like this big elevator that goes down this huge building. And then they walk outside, and they're just like on a beach. And then they pan up, and it's this giant, like fake skyscraper. They have this like giant elevator room built in it. And like, huh? And then the building crashes down on them. And then it just shows they're like all stranded on this like island.
Okay.
And they're like, what the hell? And then it turns out that like Edamura called Sam the turtle guy and Cassano.
Jesus.
And they're like, hey, yeah, we were scamming you. But do you think you can help me out with all this money to like scam these final people? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh my
god.
So
they're just all three of them are like chilling on a boat in the end, like I like these guys or whatever.
Okay.
They're all just
so
having a good time.
You basically just tore them down to build them up again instantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay. That's awesome. The way you guys were talking about this last season, it made me think that I missed out.
No, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
You missed out on a bunch of bullshit.
It puts the whole show in, like, perspective, I guess. Because then, like, at the end, Edamura is like, ah, you guys are, like, I still meant what I said to my dad or whatever, but, you know, I'm glad you guys are alive. And they just all brush over the fact that he was working for a child trafficking ring for, like, 4 months.
Oh, my
months,
God, yeah, what
no
happened
contact.
To all those kids over those 4 months? They literally just, like, provided the actual service, okay?
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
okay.
Actually sold children.
Edamura was literally just a child trafficker for like 4 months, and nobody's did anything any sooner to get him out of it. They just let him do that. And like, okay, he has to gain her trust. And then Abby the whole time was like, he's going to fuck it up. He's just a loser. I never trusted him.
What? She was a bitch? What? She's a bitch again?
Yeah, even though the whole time. She hated him at the end. Like, she did not like him. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was trafficking children.
Yeah, no, but like, they put him in that spot, and then she's like, yeah, he's going to fuck it up. He's a traitor. I never trusted him. And then, so at the end, he's just, like, completely chill with it, and he's like, yeah, we barely broke even because we're going to have to pay the three guys we scammed originally for all their help here.
Why would you not just scam them again and not pay them?
Yo, for real. I don't know.
Why would you not just immediately, like, scam them again?
Last season, the best way I can put it is, like, this last season was convoluted and, like, had all these twisting plot stuff just for the sake of it. Like, it didn't feel like, I mean, you know, that's what shows are. Like, you know, we're like, oh, the convoluted plot twist, like, oh, this paid off or whatever. But this, like, literally just felt like they're just like, oh, we want this to happen. How should we make it happen? And did it. And, like, there's no, like, real buildup or anything. It's just kind of like it happened because we wanted it to happen.
It seemed like this really was supposed to be a fourth season, and the first three stories were supposed to be fleshed out a little bit more, maybe. And they thought they had these established characters, and then when they brought them back, it didn't feel good. Like, because, weird. Yeah, they literally.
It's just like Edimer was literally just a child trafficker. He barely, like, for however long, like, traumatized.
Yeah.
And then he sees, like, that, like, his friends are alive, and his dad, he killed his dad, and they're all back alive.
How many times has he watched his watched them die? I feel like
at least, like, twice.
Yeah, because he watched Laurent die and Abby die twice.
Mm-hmm. It's just, like, really weird. It's like, it was definitely more, like, interesting, I guess. Like, you know, like,
it does not sound interesting.
No, like, it was like, I don't know, because, like, the first three cases for me were kind of like, eh, okay, like, you know, they're, like, good plot points, but not, like, super interesting, like, keep you hooked. This one, like, kept me a little bit more hooked, but the end kind of just, like, okay, what the fuck? They built a giant skyscraper on some abandoned island and, like, drugged all these people to make them fall asleep so they could fly them there and then wake them up right before the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, then, fuck yeah. That's why Edamame was there for so long. They built an entire fucking building.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
They literally were under construction and they were waiting and it got delayed like three times. They're like, fuck, he was only supposed to be there for 2 weeks.
They built a giant building on like an abandoned like island.
An island where you probably can't build anything.
Yeah, no.
That's, like, funny. What? Wait, was it her island?
I don't know. It was just some random island.
Oh my god.
And they built like a giant skyscraper and then showed all the people like that were this child traffickers just like there afterwards, like surviving on the island.
I'm glad I did not miss out.
Because I'm just like, what the fuck? And then Laurent's girlfriend was like alive in the end, and that's the whole reason that they were. Yeah, she got shot, but she actually lived and ended up in Japan.
What? Nobody, there are literally no stakes in this show. Nobody dies.
She lost her memory, and the old Japanese people are like, oh, how sweet. She doesn't have any memory or whatever. Here's this ring that you had on your necklace and got shot off when you died, and Laurent had it and threw it into the ocean, and we just found it washed up on the beach. Here you go.
Oh, my God. How? Okay, whatever. That's stupid as fuck. I'm glad I didn't finish the show. Holy shit. That's.
And. I felt like I rambled for a little bit there, but yeah, that was the ending of the show. So that just kind of like,
it really feels like there's just a lot of and then this.
Yeah, that's the whole show. Like, they're like, okay, well, we need to make it seem like it's some complicated plan to do it in this show. So then they like make it complicated on purpose, and then it's like,
I think I sensed it. I was like, this is gonna go in a bullshit direction. I'm gonna end on a high note. And just watch the first just, three. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah,
that's silly. Bullshit.
Yeah, that's funny. The ending of that, I'm like, wow, that's that's a show.
It's barely the same show at that point.
Yeah. I just can't get over the fact that he was just a legit child trafficker. Yeah. And like, literally, like,
well, because for the other scams, you know, he's like a legit airplane engineer. He's a legit doctor, you know, like, and then child trafficker.
To him, like, literally abusing the children and like screaming what? At them and like telling him to smile when they go out to the people that they're gonna be
what?
To.
Yeah,
he directly was like in like do like hand like beating kids.
He wasn't beating kids, but he was like, smile, you have to smile for the customers or whatever.
Oh,
and
my
stuff like
God.
That. And this was like after,
and he didn't know that the scam was still going on.
No,
he was just living that life.
Yeah, he was just completely traumatized.
Okay, what the fuck?
Whatever. Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
And then once it's over, he's just like, oh, okay, that happened.
And he's back to his, like,
I guess all my friends are alive. And self. Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
And then, yep, they all just completely ignore the fact that what he just
and then his
did
dad
was
like adopted off all the children and everything. It's like, okay,
except for all those kids that, you know, got like purchased. You would think that they would have done this thing where it's like, actually, we were the people who were buying all the kids or something.
Nope.
Like that. Wow.
All the kids that got purchased literally probably just fucking off like somewhere with some scumbag. Yeah.
Wow. That,
probably dead.
How hard would it have been to just write a line that's like, we were buying them all?
Well, I mean, originally, like, Loren and Abby and Cynthia, they didn't want to save the kids. They didn't want to save the kids the whole time. They just wanted the money.
Oh, my God.
They literally, like, had no plan to save any of the kids. And, like, it was Edamame's plan. And then his dad, like, finally, like, oh, yeah, I saved the kids and they got adopted. Other than that, they were just, like, chopped liver, basically. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
I hate that main character, man. He really went from, like, annoying to, like, genuinely fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's so, like, not, like, him himself, like, what he did was bad, but the writing is just fucking horrible also. Good board.
Yeah, because he didn't, like, question anything. I guess because he was, like, traumatized after, like...
Ah, whatever. If they didn't write him traumatized, then they just forgot to do that.
Showed it a lip, but then after that, it's just like he went straight to being child trafficker.
Wow, that is... Mm-hmm. I bet he did it without hesitation, too.
Yeah, he did.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was the ending of the show.
All right. I want to move on.
Yeah, I think we can move on.
You feel like you watched the end?
Oh, shit, we haven't even talked about the movie.
Yeah.
No!
That's why I want to move
on. Understandable.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I can really give a rating, but I guess if I could give a ratings to the first three bits, I would probably give it a 5. It's like good. It's watchable. It wasn't painfully generic or anything. Like, it was unique enough, but like Bungo Stray Dogs was like perfectly generic. It was just like about as generic as you could get, which somehow flipped all the way around to being entertaining again. This was just kind of like, all right, whatever. I wasn't really attached to anybody. Maybe Cynthia or Abby. I don't know. I didn't like Laurent. Yeah. I thought he was a dick.
Yeah.
I'd probably give it like a light. Nah, just give it a straight 4.
Oh, all right. Nice.
I'm going to give it a 5 as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we rarely have things that we just like straight up don't really like.
I mean, it just didn't like hold my interest.
Yeah,
I had to like force myself to watch it.
Yeah. Understandable. It wasn't super... I didn't really care for the music either, you know? I didn't really watch the outro, but the intro is just like...
Okay, the outro is pretty cool. I'll give it bonus points. I like the outro.
Netflix does this thing where they just skip it automatically, you know, and go to the next episode. So, like, the outro for me was just, oh, yeah, and then that was it.
I saw the cats on the outro. I'm like, okay, hold up, I gotta watch this thing. And it was I liked it. The outro is pretty good.
Okay, I don't think I ever watched the outro. I'm not really sure.
It was just the same style of cats, like, doing
cat shit. Again, with the intro being, like, BoJack, though, it's just, like, jazz, I guess, reminded me. I don't know. It was fine. I listened to it twice, I think, and then I was like, nope, this is just noise.
All right.
I want to move on to the movie.
rambled.
No, it's okay. If I had just watched it and like sucked it up, then we wouldn't have had to. So.
Yeah.
But thank God I didn't, because I didn't want to. And listening to you say, and then, like, every 15 seconds is pretty funny. And I mean, that's how it was. And then they get shot, and then they're actually alive, and then there's a scuba diver, and then there's a building on an island, and then there's a Chinese gang.
That's what it was.
Okay, let's fucking move on. I recommended shit. I get the two titles confused.
You spoiled your ratings for the movie already.
Okay. I do this thing where I don't remember what.
You recommended Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I know. But the title is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and I wasn't sure if I had recommended Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is the remake, and it's awful. And for some reason, they called it something different. I don't know. Yeah. I recommended Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory from 1971, and this is one of my favorite movies, like, ever, and I was just really in the mood to watch it, and I did again for, like, the millionth time. What'd you guys think of it?
I'd never seen it, and I thought it was... I'd only ever seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so it was, like, my only thing I knew about Willy Wonka.
Oh,
and I like this movie a lot better.
Yeah, because it's way fucking... It's night and day.
It's like completely different. It's like...
Because Lance, you've seen both, right?
Yeah, we've watched it before the podcast and everything.
Huh?
We just watched it at your apartment one day.
Right, yeah, right when we moved, like 2 years ago, I watched it with Lance. And I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Because the only other time I had seen it, my grandma worked at a public library when we were kids. And she would like copy... on a CD burner every single movie that the library got, and then we would get a copy of it. So we that was one that we had. We had like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. She gave me like all the old shitty movies, you know? And this and like Mary Poppins and stuff. But this was the one that we put on all the fucking time. Because it is an absolute like pleasure. It's just pure. It's just
fun to watch. Yeah.
It's just fucking great, yeah. And I don't really know how I sat through the first half of the movie when I was a kid, but to me now, like, the first half of the movie is, like, really important. Like, when I was a kid, you're just like, fuck, get to the factory.
Yeah.
Get to the part where the kid fucking drowns in diarrhea shit water. Like, just, I want to watch that. But
yeah,
as an adult watching it, you pick up on, like, all the dry, like, almost British humor, and it's like, fuck, like the teachers just like we're switching Monday and Friday, and that means we're taking the test on Monday before we've learned everything throughout the week. And it's like, what the fuck? He just like says that randomly, and then he's like teaching percentages, and he's like if you open like out of 1,000 Wonka bars, and one of the kids goes, I opened 100, and then he gets to Charlie and he's like, how many did you open? And he like goes, 2, and he goes, 2, I can't figure that out. Yeah. We're just going to say you open 200. It's, like, funny. And, like, oh, fuck. I thought the kids were annoying when I was a kid, right? But when you're an adult, they just fucking hit different. You just want to punt all of those kids into outer space. And it's so satisfying.
Like such scumbags when they all get, like, fucked up.
Yeah, and it's, like, the whole moral of the story is, one, to advertise chocolate bars, right? Two... Don't be a fucking shit. Yeah, don't be a shit. Otherwise, you'll get sucked up and turned into fudge, or you'll shrink down.
Or compressed. Or
we'll burn you alive in a fucking furnace. You'll die in hell. Like, Jesus. All under the guise...
fucking TV.
Yeah, all under the guise of, like, a cute chocolate factory adventure. Yay! Like, we're making candy! And it's like, all these kids are just fucking, like, there's, like, it's almost like the Seven Deadly Sins, right? It's like, sloth and envy and greed, and like that's pretty much exactly what it is. They only go through like 4 of them, of course, but and their parents are just enabling their children. So it's like a moral of like, don't raise shitty kids, and also if you're a kid, this is what will happen to you. Yeah, if you're
don't
shitty
be a shitty kid.
Literally Veruca gets burned alive, like I mean, like In the remake, they like show all the kids walking out, and they're like, okay, you know, it's like, haha.
And they changed. They don't even show.
Yeah, they changed.
Willy Wonka just goes back to his office, and he's like, fuck it, whatever like, happened. Maybe the Oompa Loompas will help him.
He's so concerned with everything. He's just like, don't stop, come back. Like he wants them to fuck.
Yeah.
He wants them to fucking like fall to their deaths. You know, he wants them to inflate and die, and be juiced. Like, he's just basically waiting for all this shit. And it's a hazardous fucking factory. It's like he tailor-made the factory Or he tailor picked out the tickets of the people who he wanted to like just have destroyed, essentially. Like in the remake, Veruca, like instead of golden geese, it's like nuts, and then she just falls down a chute of nuts. Yeah, and it's not
or like there's like squirrels. I think there's squirrels.
Yeah. The squirrels are cracking the nuts.
Yeah,
and then they like throw them down into the middle, and then she just falls into the middle where all the nuts go, which is like okay, you landed in a big pile of nuts. That's not anything. Mm-hmm. Well, she got attacked. She got carried by squirrels and thrown down it, huh?
I think so.
Whatever. I don't give a fuck. It's kind of impossible to talk about the original without talking. Like, it's an easy like comparison between like the two movies, right? Because like you can show how good the original is by talking about how bad the new remake is. Like Gene Wilder is so charming. Like you want to like give him a hug.
I don't know. Like, yeah, just like the whole theme of the remake movie, just I feel like isn't good for Charlie and the Chocolate, or you know,
the whole not good
theme
for
the thing, like the weird post-apocalyptic, like gray, blue, everything. Like,
yeah, when in the original, it was like a charming German like village.
Like, yeah, and like the factory is like super like fun looking, you know, and like entertaining.
It looks like a fucking chocolate factory, and and Willy Wonka looks like a nice person, and he's not like,
weird zombie man.
Yeah, and the only reason that the fucking parents like hate him is because they're all pieces of shit. You know, like there's no reason for anybody to like hate, you know, Wonka because he's just like, I mean, he's a douche, kind of, but
only because they're being
only because they're fucking horrible. Yeah. It's just crazy. And it's also like sort of thing where like even the whole fucking world is like trying to get these tickets right. Mm-hmm. And like it's like one of those things where like even good things happen to even like good things happen to bad people. So like five kids, four of them are horrible shitheads. It's like 80% of the world is like shitty. It's kind of a cynical movie as well.
Yeah, it's
where like the whole world is like dropping everything. Like that lady's husband is kidnapped and she's like, I'll give anything to have Harold back. And then the fucking detective gets off the phone. He's like, they want you a case of Wonka bars. And she's like shocked. She like stands up and she's like thinking in her head and she's like, the detective is like, what? It's your husband's life or your case of Wonka bars. And she's like, how long do I have to think it over? It's like fucking great. I love the scene with the guy with the computer. He's like, I am telling the computer to tell me where the ticket is.
Yeah.
And he punches in like fucking five random buttons that say nothing on them. And then the computer says no or whatever, because that'd be cheating. And then yeah, it's just, and he's like, I'll tell the computer exactly, and it's just like, he's like sweating, and he's like,
it's like loosening his tie. I don't know. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's like almost like the Naked Gun or something, or like something like one of those like airplane movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like put together. I don't know if you guys watched that Red Letter Media video.
No, I didn't.
But this movie has like a very interesting like backstory. So like it was literally created like as an advertisement for Quaker Oats. Quaker Oats produced this movie to sell chocolate bars. Really? And the director, Mel Stewart, I think, his like daughter just wanted him to make the movie because she had the book and she loved the book so much. And she was like, yeah, make this fucking movie. And he's like, okay. And it was like, he was a documentary filmmaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's why they have like all those little like press, like, I don't know, what do you call those things, like, in the office, where they, like, have those little interviews, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They, like, have those with all the kids, and you, like, get introduced to them, and you're like, oh, God, this kid.
Oh, no.
And, like, and then they introduce, like, Slugworth, and, like, you know, his whispering in, like, all the kids' ears, like, as soon as they get it. He just happens to be there, which is, like, almost like fucking Wonka's omnipotent and knows exactly where all the golden tickets are going, so, I mean, he probably knows. Yeah. He selected all those children to be burned alive and crushed. So yeah, they created this movie as an ad for like actual real life chocolate bars that were called Wonka bars, and everybody knows that Wonka is like an actual brand. I think it got discontinued recently, so it doesn't exist anymore as a brand, but you can buy all of those things still.
Yeah, like the candy still exists.
Yeah, like Everlasting Gobstoppers, which are not as fucking cool as they are in the movie. I will say that. They look so awesome in the movie, and in real life, they're weird, just
like, I don't even know what shape that is.
Like those little, like they look like tank busters, you know, yeah. Like things that like anti-tank mines, mm-hmm. or not mines, but big concrete. They look cool.
Yeah.
And I wanted one of them as a kid because, like, fuck, it looks awesome. I would put that in my mouth.
Get one, it's just a ball.
It's a fucking tiny jawbreaker. Yeah. It's stupid. And then they like slowly change color, just like a jawbreaker, but it's like, mm-hmm. you're not going to spit that out and like look at it. What the hell? They're stupid. Yeah, this movie has just ruined candy for me because, like, nothing is as cool as...
Everything looks way cooler.
Yeah. It looks so good. We'll get to that reveal when they actually get into the chocolate factory, but I forget what tangent I was going on. Oh, right, yeah. So the backstory of, like, the chocolate. They got the formula wrong, and all of the chocolate bars would melt at room temperature. So they had this movie to advertise all of these non-existent chocolate bars that had to be recalled from store shelves because they were fucking melting into puddles. So they couldn't even be sold as chocolate bars. Quaker Oats just wasted all their fucking money, I guess.
In a movie?
Yeah. This wasn't successful or popular when it first came out. I have no fucking clue why. Yeah.
Damn. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just sort of
like
gotten...
it would be like one of those like movies that just like been... popular forever since it came out.
Yeah, it wasn't an instant classic, and it for sure is now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of, like, I don't usually like, okay, I guess A Clockwork Orange came out in 1971 to give you guys a comparison. I don't know if you guys have seen Clockwork Orange.
Seen it. Yeah,
I haven't seen it either.
Dirty Harry, The French Connection, these are just like things that came out the same year. So Fiddler on the Roof, I guess that's something that's recognizable. So yeah, just like, this wasn't like an instant success, and now like looking at it on IMDb, like, it's one of the most popular movies like audience wise that came out that year. It's second. It's right behind A Clockwork Orange. So good on them. They just accidentally stumbled upon a fucking like great movie. Like, all the people who worked on it, the two guys wrote all the songs in like a day, because it was decided like nearly last minute that before the script was even written.
Musical.
Yeah, before they had like an actual script, they wrote songs for it, and the guys who wrote the songs didn't have a script, so they just fucking wrote candy songs, right? And they're just like, give us a song where you're singing about fucking imagination, and give us a song where you're singing about crushing your kids' dreams, and we'll fucking just pay you, and then you just write the songs, and then we'll get them. So that's why, like, you know, like, they have a song like "I've Got a Golden Ticket," and like that's why Grandpa Joe sings it, is because they just had a song, and they gave it to Grandpa Joe instead of Charlie, because I don't think the actor who played Charlie could sing very well or something.
Yeah,
so,
probably.
So they gave it to Grandpa Joe, and we'll
that's
get to Grandpa
they got
Joe.
The music for that shit.
Yeah, so they just wrote it, and then they just put
you're
the
like,
song.
Oh, okay. And we can put it here.
Yeah. Okay. And they just kind of just did it. And, like, I don't know about you guys, but as far as, like, musicals go, I don't really consider this a musical, but this is, like, the best, like, ever. It's, like, awesome. I love every single song except one. They're just all so catchy. They're permanently in my head. Like, all the time. I can't, like, you can't forget the fucking Oompa Loompa song.
No.
Like, it's just there. Like, Pure Imagination, that's just playing in my head in the background all the time. Same thing with the opening song, which is just awesome. All these kids going fucking nuts in a candy store. And, like, they introduce the candy store and all these kids going crazy, and you're like, wow, I want candy. And that's, like, not even the beginning. It's, like, a tiny sliver of all of the candy contained in this fucking movie. It's ridiculous. What do you guys think of Grandpa Joe? Because there's a large group of people who fucking hate Grandpa Joe.
What?
Like, he's the antagonist of the movie, right?
Why?
Yeah. So, like,
what?
You guys have never heard of this? Well, I guess you've never seen the movie. Mm. Yeah, so there's like a whole like subreddit, I think, called Fuck Grandpa Joe. And it's like he was like just in his like bed, you know, forever. Mm. And then it's Grandpa Joe Hate, sorry. And it's just people do not fucking like Grandpa Joe. They just hate him because he was like just sitting in his bed until Charlie got a ticket, and then he starts singing like, "I have a golden ticket," even though it's like not his, you know.
Oh.
But yeah, people just hate Grandpa Joe. And I guess when I saw it the last time, I was like, you know, whatever. He's fine. I don't hate him.
I didn't think he was. I thought he was fine. He's just. Grandpa is like just hyping up his grandson, like, you know, like, yeah, supporting him, like, don't worry, man, you'll get a golden ticket, you know, like, don't worry. Like, yeah, just like kind of trying to keep him happy. Yeah. Like, yeah, he quit smoking so his grandson could buy candy bars.
Yeah. And they're like super poor. And it's like, mm-hmm. they only have like two sources of income in the house. And I guess it's the sort of point that like he could have just gotten up whenever he wanted. But I guess the point of the movie, or what the movie, what I assume they were going for, was that Grandpa Joe was not the most evil person on the planet. And it's that he was just like so reinvigorated because it's such like a magical, satirical, just like, you know, Wonka is God and can do anything, and revived his grandpa's like.
He just wanted to be there for his grandson, man. Like,
Yeah. And it's not like he instantly pops up and is like.
No, he's like gets. There's like a whole song about it, isn't it? Like him fucking learning.
Yeah,
how to
he's
walk
like stumbling around.
Yeah,
he's like stumbling around. He's like skipping like at the end of it, and he's like dancing, and it's like, wow, this is the magic of Wonka, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the end, like, you know, Charlie gets the factory. His grandparents get to move in. He gets like a good life, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even really matter. I don't really get the hate about Grandpa Joe. I mean, I get it. But I'm not passionate about hating a fictional character. So. Except for that main character in The Great Pretender. Fuck that guy.
Or Ray from Evangelion.
Right, I don't like fucking Ray from Evangelion. this subreddit has 145,000 people in it, by the way.
Oh my God.
It's not small. It's not a small subset of people, but yeah. People do not like Grandpa Joe.
Jeez.
Yeah. I don't mind him.
It was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about that because it's an interesting point. I want to get to the first introduction to the like factory when they all get in.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Wilder would only do the movie if he could do that little fucking somersault thing.
Really?
Yeah. So they wanted to get Gene Wilder, and he was like, "Okay, fine, but I want to do this fucking somersault thing, and I won't do it if I can't." And they were like, "Fucking, I don't care. You do whatever you want, Gene Wilder. We don't give a shit." And that's exactly what he did. And I think the point was that like you won't ever know if he's bullshitting after that.
Yeah.
So like the very first time you see him, he's like fucking with you, and you. Like, from that point forward, nobody knows if he's actually fucking with you or if he's being serious, which I thought is cool. Like, it's fucking brilliant to me. But I think everything about this movie is fucking awesome. So, I'm a little biased. And then, like, they get in, they have the contract that gets smaller and smaller. They can't fucking read it.
Mm-hmm.
The car salesman guy is being an asshole about it because car salesmen are assholes. That's the joke. And then his daughter just gets up there and signs it anyways, and he's like, rah, 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 yeah. Wonka! Yeah, they're all, that's the whole fucking movie, with the parents going, "Aw, man, Mr. Wonka, you motherfucker, you piece of shit, I'll sue you up and down," like, all the parents are just assholes.
They're really
hard. And then, yeah. And, I mean, even Grandpa Joe is a little bit in the asshole anyway, so, he's a little bit of an asshole in the end. I think I said that backwards. But that first, like, when they get into that tiny room and then they're like, it's actually genuinely claustrophobic. I was like, oh shit, they actually put all those actors in there and made him do that. Then they just, like, he gets to open the door and, like, you see the reveal of, like, is it the chocolate room?
I think so.
I think it's called the chocolate room. Like, all those actors had never seen the set before then, so they all are having genuine reactions. I'm pretty sure Gene Wilder did, because he's supposed
to. He had to, yeah.
Yeah. He's supposed to have, you know, rehearsed it. And then he has like a song that he sings and fucking he's swinging a cane around and mm-hmm. the kids are like trying to get on the stairs. They don't know what to do. They're just probably told to just fucking go nuts.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're like trying to go down the stairs and then he stops and goes back and then he goes down a few stairs and he stops and goes back and like, that's just actually Gene Wilder fucking around with the kid actors on set. Like, I'm sure he is like fucking awesome to all those kids. Cause
mm-hmm.
I mean, all of them are still, all of them are still alive except for, fuck, what's her name? Violet. The actress who played Violet isn't alive anymore.
Really?
But yeah, but the rest of them, I'm sure that was like the best fucking part of their lives because, you know, that's like the only thing they're pretty much
sick.
Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they get to like just fuck around with Gene Wilder on like a in like a candy factory all day. Mm-hmm. Like it's just cool. I'm sure they all loved it. I'm pretty sure Augustus
a lot of candy too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Augustus Gloop is just like a random German kid they found. Because he has like three lines and he does not say them very well. So it's kind of like Slugworth as well. He's like a German actor who they gave his lines to and he has like mm-hmm. one thing he says. Yeah, but that first scene where they go in and that song is just like fucking awesome. It's just so cool. And everything looks so good. Like the set design and as well as like literally looking like good. Like I want to eat it. Like the fucking like every time, like when I was watching it this time, I was like, holy shit. I remember wanting to eat all of this stuff. Like when she's like, I think Veruca has like a giant pumpkin that's like full of jelly or something. And like the mom, like the fucking TV mom was like eating whipped cream out of a mushroom. I was like, shit, that looks, I want to fucking do that. Yeah. And then the kids are just slowly murdered one by one after that. Yeah,
just picked off.
And then the Augustus is like, you know, getting slurped up and the mom is like freaking out. She's like, he's got to be cooked into fudge or whatever. And he goes, that's impossible. Frankly, impossible. And she's like, what do you mean? He goes, because that doesn't go to the fudge room. It goes to the marshmallow room. And she's like, all like pissed off because she's like,
what the fucking fuck? Die.
Yeah, my kid's like going to die. It doesn't matter. And he's like acting all urgent.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fun.
Maybe the kids weren't so fucking dumb.
Yeah, they are all little assholes.
So fucking be an asshole.
Yeah. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. And Veruca's like, what the fuck is a snozzberry? He grabs her fucking mouth. It's like, listen here, you little shit. Shut the fuck up. But he says it in a nice way. He says, mm-hmm. like, something, we are the dreamers of dreams. It's like he just says some weird shit to, like, just get her to shut the fuck up. Yeah, and then Charlie is, like, an angel.
Yeah, the only kid who doesn't fuck anything up.
Whoa, yeah, whoa. I mean, he does. He stools fizzy lifting drinks. Yeah. The fan has to be washed and sanitized. Fucking great. He almost gets chopped up.
He does, yeah.
But then he does the selfless deed after he lost. He turns around and does not give the gobstopper to Slugworth. Yeah. Because he's perfect and has no flaws. And then he just gets everything he ever wanted, which is great. That's
he gets to be the crazy candy man.
Yeah, it's the moral of the story. When I was a kid, I was confused because I assumed that the second one was a sequel.
Oh, and I was like, why? Like, that's Charlie?
Yeah. And I was like,
why is he so fucking weird?
Yeah. I was like, why would he do the exact, I mean, it makes sense why he would do the exact same contest.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks more modern, but I was like, why would he literally change his name and then also all these other kids have the same names, because I was like so confused. Because when you're a kid, you don't know what a fucking remake is. It's like, what is going on? This is supposed to be like Star Wars. Everything was supposed to be like Star Wars, where it's a continuation or a prequel or whatever. Yeah, so fuck the second movie. It's terrible. None of the songs are coherent at all.
Just doesn't have like any charm to it.
Yeah.
Just gross.
It is just gross.
It just feels gross and creepy.
I think it's just all Tim Burton's ego.
Yeah.
Like, he did Alice in Wonderland right after that. Johnny Depp. It was Johnny Depp's idea. Or no. Oh, fuck. It might have been Johnny Depp's idea to play the character that way. I'm pretty sure. Or Tim Burton just told him to go fucking nuts and do whatever you want, and that's exactly what he did. Yeah. Tim Burton just fucking fucked up, man. He couldn't not make everything look like Tim Burton garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like that weird kind of like darker than it needs to be kind of vibe.
Which isn't like what the movie was about at all. Like the movie was all jokes. It was all jokes and humor until they get into the factory.
Exactly.
Yeah. I literally can't think of a single joke that they did in the remake. Like that was funny. Like what did they do? It was just
weird.
He gets into the factory like in the first like 15 minutes, I feel like.
I think so, yeah.
Because Johnny Depp has to be on screen. And then even And then even before they get into the factory, they have Johnny Depp like in flashbacks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about the flashback parts.
It's just fucking ridiculous. And Grandpa Joe is like, he is in the beginning and he used to work at the factory and then they kicked everybody out. And then he does nothing the rest of the fucking movie. He just does nothing. There's no fizzy lifting drinks. When I was a kid, I was like, God damn, why doesn't he get to fly? There's none of that. And then at the end, he just, I don't even know what the gobstoppers look like, you know? If you don't know what the gobstopper looks like in the fucking Willy Wonka remake, then you just did it wrong. You just fucking did it wrong. And that's why absolutely nobody likes or remembers the new one. It's just gross. It's just weird. I want to finish the discussion off by bringing up the fact that there's going to be a prequel movie to the original one.
There's already a sequel. Snowpiercer.
What?
What?
Have you not seen that? Snowpiercer is like a sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
The original or the remake?
Snowpiercer? With the fucking train?
The train and Chris Hemsworth. Chris Evans. Yeah.
How? Is the theory that Chris Evans is supposed to be Charlie or what?
I think so, yeah. I don't know.
That's a stupid theory. I'm just going to ignore that. Timothy Chalamet is supposed to play Wonka. I don't know how that's gonna fucking go. I don't really see Timothée Chalamet in that kind of role. I'll watch it and then be disgusted, I assume. So
probably.
How Gene Wilder was alive when they made that remake. He saw it. He was fucking appalled.
Oh my God.
I think he called it a disgrace.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he called it a disgrace and a mistake.
Complaint.
That is his character. He invented it and he just hated it. I can't blame him. It's just horrible. Horrible, horrible garbage. There's absolutely nothing, I don't think. In the review they did in the fucking Red Letter Media video I linked you guys the review for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mike brings up that the river looks better, and I agree. The Chocolate River.
In the new movie?
Yeah, it doesn't. It actually looks like chocolate instead of
not just like
diarrhea water. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I don't think he really knows how to make chocolate very good. I was like, that isn't. It's either molten and like super fucking hot.
Yeah.
Or that kid is just swimming in shit water. And then that's exactly what it was. I could probably talk about this movie forever, but I'm gonna cut it short there because we kind of went off on a thing on Great Pretender. So I'm giving this a 10 out of 10. I don't think there's a movie this old that does like this. Is just my favorite oldest movie, I guess. I don't really know. I mean, Star Wars is like just 6 years after this, but I don't even like Star Wars as much as I like this movie. So 10 out of 10 for me, for sure. I will watch this movie forever. It's 50 years old, so.
I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. God. I hated it.
I can't believe you guys hated Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I'm going with a 9 out of 10.
Nah. Yeah. I give it I'm not saying, like, I liked it a lot, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I guess I didn't see it as a kid, so it doesn't have, like, the same. So it was my first time watching it, so it's just like,
yeah, you know, it was a good movie. And honestly, I urge you to like rewatch it too, because there's like even jokes that you can just like miss that you just like hadn't even like remembered or like thought of at the time or noticed. And there's just like so much background stuff, and like you can,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and this time I was like looking for like how they did like certain stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, there's wires on them. You can very clearly see the wires when they're in the fizzy lifting drink section. You can like see it like tugging on their clothes and stuff. And I was like, damn, it looks good. It looks cool.
Yeah.
But you know, and like just it's just cool. Especially knowing like all the backstory. You should watch that Red Letter Media video because they talk about all the stuff. They got like most of the Oompa Loompas are like from Turkey because they didn't have enough like little people. Like I don't fucking know. What do you even call?
I think little people is
okay. Is that the new term? They couldn't get as many from Germany, so they had to import them. They also like, yeah, it's just great. Yeah, what a banger. You guys want to do our little outro and explain what the next episode is gonna look like, or?
Yeah.
I'll let Lance do it since he's been kind of quiet.
True.
You guys just said a lot of this shit that I was going to say, and I was like, you covered that point. I don't got to say anything about that.
You can butt in. You can interrupt us if you want to say something.
I know, but you guys were like, you had some points, and I wanted to listen to them. It was
all right.
Days. I'm sorry. I've like kept thinking, I'm like, I'm being really quiet, but like, I want to listen to this.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I guess that's this episode. Our next episode, next two episodes, I guess, are going to be Halloween specials.
Yeah.
We're watching Halloween movies now.
Yeah, last year we did three horror movies that I just sort of picked and you and Vincent agreed on. We're each recommending one, and then we're all agreeing on one.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess do you guys have one that in your head that you guys want to recommend? I guess because I don't really have. I have one, but I don't know. I kind of want to do it on the second episode, so okay. I'll let you guys.
I have one. Yeah.
Okay. Luke, since you were so excited to recommend an anime today, how would you go ahead and recommend your movie?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, okay, that sounds. I have seen pieces of this movie.
We're watching the whole thing.
Fuck yeah. I have been absolutely just smashing through best of the worst episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks like that is exactly what this is. So I cannot fucking wait to talk about this. Yeah. Oh my God. There's a fucking drive-in showing of this movie in Nebraska. On the 27th of October, though, so I'm not gonna be able to do that. Okay. Yeah, fucking awesome. Yeah, I can't wait for that. Lance, do you have one you want to recommend, or should I do mine?
Oh, I have a recommendation. In true Nebraskan fashion, I am going to recommend Children of the Corn.
Oh, my God. We have two 80s bangers. Very epic. Okay. We will watch both of these probably in the next week, I guess.
These next two movies
will get probably get banged out like pretty quickly because it's October 6th right now as we're recording this, so
yeah.
I love watching. I didn't when I was a kid watching like horror movies, and I don't really now, but just like Halloween is just like such a magical time of year.
Yeah,
and it gets me in the fucking mood. So, and especially movies from the 80s are just like so charming when it comes to like shitty, awful, or good special effects. So I mean, last year I talked about The Thing, like I adore that, and I love practical, shitty, gross looking gore. So
yeah,
it's gonna be awesome. The next episode I will do my recommendation, and then we will all agree on a fourth movie to watch. So yeah, we'll be back in a year. Or not in a year.
We'll be back in a year.
I only want to do Halloween movies apparently.
See you next Halloween.
Yeah, see you next fucking Halloween. Yeah, no, we'll see you guys in like a week or 2 weeks maybe. It depends. We'll probably bang these out definitely before Halloween.
Yeah.
Alright. Good episode.
Alright.
Good episode.
This is my outro. Bye.
Bye. Let's go.